Chef John Falls welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right, everybody, welcome to Stirring It Up, the best tasting and cultural show on radio. We're so happy to have you with us, and I'd like to begin by welcoming Michelle York, our executive producer. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for asking. And you?
Things going well?
Yes, indeedy.
Just want to make sure about that.
And you?
Everything's going good. Everything's going good. I got a lot to talk about today. A lot to talk about today.
We're ready to listen.
Well, and keeping us alive and well across that glass wall right there is Dean Slama, our engineer. Keeps that music good. Got good music for us today?
Oh, I got some great selections. Yeah. Can't wait to play them.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Can't wait to hear them.
You know, our listeners always comment on the music. That's all in your court over there. So, I mean,
they must be thinking somebody else is doing the music.
Well, I take credit for it. Y'all, before I get into the big topic today, I must remember that today is December the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. And, of course, that's the day that the United States was drawn into World War II with the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And today, like most days, we must thank and never forget those who gave their lives and those who go out and fight for our country and protect our freedoms every single day. So we on Stirring It Up say thanks in a big, big way to all of our veterans out there and all of those who are wearing the uniform today to make sure that we can have a safe and happy and holy holiday season, because you are out there watching out for us. We thank you so very much, and thanks to all of the families who lost their loved ones in the bombing of Pearl Harbor. What a horrible day that was, a day that will live in infamy. So, Michelle.
Yes.
3 weeks to go to Christmas. How's that big shopping going? I mean, how's that big shopping going?
You mean, do I have your gift yet?
How's that big shopping going? However you wish to interpret that.
Well, you know, sometimes it's a little hard to get started, and sometimes there are a few people on your list that you just don't quite know what to get. You know, for the man who has everything, including being surrounded by fabulous people all the time, what do you get them?
I don't know, Slama. I don't know. I'm fighting to get you something, too. I'm not sure what it's all
about. Oh, guys.
I know you don't want us to fight that hard, I'm sure. Well, and I'm Charles Stovehounds out there fighting the same battle you are. Huh?
Absolutely. I know that they are.
Well, I'm easy. I am very easy. I'm easy. Whatever you buy for me, I'm going to love. And Slama, I am happy to say, I have Michelle's Christmas gift already.
Oh, wow. Really?
That's exactly right. Didn't I tell you I had it already?
Well, you said birthday. Am I getting a double duty gift?
Well, your birthday and Christmas is 2 days apart. I mean, give me a break. 2, 3, 4 days apart.
Five.
Slama, you know what I mean?
Five.
I hate people who plan pregnancies around double presents in December.
Oh, I don't think they're planned.
You don't, huh? Well, I mean, you always get me stuff I love. I mean, you know what I like.
Hmm? Well, I'm working on it. Hmm? I'm working on it.
You working on something?
Yeah.
Well, I know what's always on your Christmas list. You're a woman of the written word, and books are your passion. So I'm always looking in that. But that is such an expected gift for you. I always have that as lanyard. Even though they're masterpieces that everybody would love to have.
Those are kind of stocking stuffers.
Yeah,
for
stocking
me.
Stuffers of quite a lot of expense, I might add.
Expensive stocking stuffers.
Yeah, because she doesn't like some little old book. You know, it's got to be some rare antique by some great author. That I don't mind, is what I'm saying.
Is that what you're saying? First editions are special. Mm-hmm. First editions are special. But, you know, books are an excellent holiday gift. If it's got pages of beautiful color photographs and artwork with great recipes, you know that's a winner.
You mean like my book?
Like
our books.
Thank you. But I do think cookbooks are an exceptional Christmas gift, or any gift time of the year. There always seems to be a new crop of them coming out right around this time of year.
Well, you're right about that. And they cover such an array of culinary topics, too, from local cuisine to far-off regions of the world, everything in between. The great news is that books never, ever go out of fashion. And cookbooks, certainly, even if you're not a cook, you need a book worse than anyone. So you need a cookbook worse than anyone. And somebody said, well, I don't get a lot of cookbooks. I don't know how to cook. I said, well, you know, that's why they gave us a little reading book in first grade, because we didn't know how to read. Yes. So, you know, they started us off that way, you know. But so I remind them of that, Michelle.
You know, there's a book that came out recently called An Italian Palate. It was written by Chef Robert St. John. It's a big coffee table book. It features gorgeous watercolor paintings that were inspired by Italian landscapes, along with delicious recipes that Robert collected on his travels through the countryside. I love books with a story within the story. You know, you might say that you could judge the book by the cover, because it truly is exceptional. You mentioned international. On the more exotic side of international, and I don't even know if I'm saying this right, the pok-pok?
Yeah, pok-pok.
Thai food is really popular right now, but not many of us know how to prepare it. So the author gives a lot of insights into the essence of Thai food and the people, the cultural narratives in there. Wonderful regional recipes. It's quite an interesting book if you're looking for somebody on your list.
Well, you know, being Louisiana authors, you and I do so much work on the history of Louisiana, but I just recently purchased a cookbook by our friend Lauren Godin. Remember,
know
Lauren, right?
Absolutely.
New Orleans Chef's Table, Extraordinary Recipes from this storied Louisiana city. And for me, the first line of the introduction says it all. In New Orleans, we can be eating a meal while talking about another meal and simultaneously planning the next meal. Food obsessed. That's what we are.
Yes.
That's great. It spotlights recipes from restaurants in mid-city to the warehouse district. There's even a mention of a place called Restaurant Revolution in the French Quarter.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that
You've heard of that one? Yeah, well, I guess you should have, huh? Well, I mean, how can you do a great New Orleans recipe book and not include our Restaurant Revolution? But I am proud that she did that.
Absolutely.
But it is a great book, and certainly I know Louisianians are always looking for Louisiana's new books at the holiday time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is certainly going to be a great choice. Lauren Godin's New Orleans Chef's Table.
And, you know, sometimes I get into a little, you know, frenzy, thinking, oh, I'm going to bake bread. Yeah, I want to learn how to make beer. And I'm sure there's probably somebody on your list like that. If so, you might consider The New Artisan Bread in 5 Minutes a Day, a cookbook by Jeff Hertzberg and Zoe Francois. It's the 2013 revised edition of their bestseller that now includes a gluten-free chapter, which is more and more important to everybody. New photographs, new recipes, and the authors have truly perfected artisan bread recipes, fast and delicious results. And this is a book I got for Christmas a few years ago, The Cook's Illustrated Cookbook.
Oh, cool.
Do you see it? I brought it in today.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a fabulous book. Wow.
It came out in 2011, but it's certainly worthy of putting on your Christmas list. Compilation of recipes from the magazine Cook's Illustrated. They're known as America's Test Kitchen because their recipes are all tested for accuracy, best results. It's not a picture book. So, I mean, you could look at it and think, there are a lot of words in here. But 2,000 pre-tested recipes of all types, so you're guaranteed success.
When Cook's Illustrated came out, I mean, it was an immediate sensation because it did what no other magazine did, and that is it dissected every recipe. Butter went into the dish. There was a huge discussion. What kind of butter is best? How much water is in it? All of a sudden, things started to really make sense.
And they do little tips in there, too, which are so great.
No,
like skillets. What size skillet is best? And they do a whole little dissertation on why a 12-inch skillet is perfect for the kitchen.
Good. Cook's Illustrated, like I say, a great publication. Very good instruction. And that book, and again, I might mention that even though this book was put out a couple of years ago, I'm sure you can find it's available. And believe me, it's like a book that will always remain in vogue because it's instructional and the facts are always the facts in cooking. They're never going to change. Styles change and fads come and go, but cooking technique and what makes an egg fry and what makes it burn and what makes butter scorch and smoke will never change. The facts are the facts, right, and that's what Cooks Illustrated is all about. And you know, another idea for the foodie on your list, a foodie magazine subscription. What about that?
You know? I think that's a fabulous idea, and a lot of magazines have, you know, if you're trying to be thrifty, sometimes you can get a magazine for yourself and you get a free gift subscription. I'm just saying. So if you get a gift subscription from me, just...
You see, if I get
know that it's the thought.
If I get a subscription magazine from her, I'm gonna know it was free. I'm gonna know she invested nothing in. But that's a great idea, Michelle. I mean, that's really a great idea, because if you know someone loves to cook, magazines can be expensive, especially the high glossy, beautifully written magazines. Savour is one of my favorites. Some of the most interesting, stirring it up guests or contributors to Savour magazine. You know, our Halloween show just recently had Alec was on, remember?
Alec LeBron.
Yeah, and I mean, he had an article in Savour about Transylvania countryside and foods he ate along the way. So remember, y'all, you can get those subscriptions now. So come January, those magazines are delivered to the door and that gift starts giving immediately, right?
Absolutely. Another of our favorite magazines is Louisiana Kitchen and Culture.
It's less than two years old. Oh, great magazine. All Louisiana.
It is a great magazine. They feature everything from our favorite cooks, timely articles on what's being grown, caught, cooked, who's who on the culinary scene, restaurants, chefs, updates on culinary festivals. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. Magazine subscriptions. That's awesome. There's another book that I really like. The New Food Lover's Companion, 5th edition. I mean, I keep this on my shelf. It has every definition of every food type possible in this book. Wow, so, I mean, it's certainly an excellent resource for us when we're working on cookbooks, but it's an interesting read. I mean, I've heard people say, oh, just read the dictionary, and you think, well, I'm going to have to be really bored to do that. But this is interesting. I mean, it's really a culinary dictionary. It has all the international foods. It's quite a little cultural and culinary lesson.
Well, anything you want to know, if you're stumped with any word or any, or oh, my God, what is a stroganoff, you can believe it will be in-depth in there.
Because you wonder sometimes. You think you know what a stroganoff is, but try to tell somebody what it is.
Anyway, y'all, once again, Dean's telling me it's time to stop and take a break here. We're going to be right back. Michelle is going to introduce a fascinating guest that you will be very happy you hung around for. We'll be right back.
Honey, where'd you learn to cook? Surely it must not have been out of your mama's cookbook. Now watch out.
Greetings, I'm Jake Hebert.
And I'm Adam Chouard. Join us every Friday at midnight for the Sound Club radio program.
Your home for left field pop gems from today to yesteryear.
Here on 88.7 FM KRVS.
Hi, I'm Pete Bergeron. If your day starts early, like mine does, let's spend it together with Cajun music from 5 to 7 a.m. here at Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Food to bring to you. I want to cook. I want to cook. I want to cook a pot of food to bring to you.
That's another Dean Slama original right there, which is real. Welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio. And today we're talking about Michelle and I's favorite subject, cookbooks, but also, more importantly, about giving books. as the perfect Christmas gift or holiday or gift all year long. Anytime you give a book, that's a gift that keeps giving for life. And Michelle, we have not only a great guest, I love to be able to have great guests who also a great friend who we've known for a long time, and people we feel like family, you know. And today we have somebody that's very special to both of us. And why don't you go ahead and introduce her?
You know what's so amazing is that I have known Jan Langoni for almost 2 decades, and I have never met her face-to-face, but I consider her one of my dearest friends. Jan Langoni, Curator of American Culinary History at the Hatcher Library of the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Jan is also the proprietor of the Wine and Food Library, America's oldest antiquarian culinary bookshop. Need I say more? I mean, I'm sure everybody knows we're in love with Jan Langoni. When she's not handling her duties of curator and bookstore proprietress, she lectures, she teaches, she writes, she acts as a consultant on all things gastronomy. She's spoken on culinary history at Oxford University, at Harvard, the New York Historical Society, the Historic New Orleans Collection. And she was the United States representative at the Paris Cookbook Fair in 2011. Now, that's somewhere we need to put on our to-do list.
How did I not know about that, Michelle?
Paris Cookbook Fair.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I see a trip in our future. Jane has served as editor for major works of culinary importance. She's acted as judge for the James Beard Awards, the Julia Child Awards. Among her many awards in recognition of her preservation of American culinary literature is the 2000 Food Arts Silver Spoon Award. You too, John, are a recipient of the Silver Spoon Award.
Well, I'm in good company with her.
You are in very good company. The 2007 International Academy of Culinary Arts Award. And most recently, in 2011, she received the Amelia Award by the Culinary Historians of New York. Wow. Now, if that doesn't verify the authenticity and veracity of our guest, I don't know what does. Jan, welcome to Stirring It Up.
Thank you. That's an absolutely beautiful introduction, and I feel the same way about you. And I just will have one comment. You mentioned about the bookshop, the Wine and Food Library, and I tell people I'm supposedly the oldest living culinary book dealer in the world, they tell me. Some days I feel that and some days I don't.
Well, I hope you continue to have that title for many, many, many years. That's all. Jan, how are you doing? We've not spoken in quite a while. That's my fault. You cannot imagine, and I mean this very sincerely, how often your name comes up in our office as we talk and think about your unbelievable culinary collection, and how disappointed I am that I'm not always picking up the phone and calling you about some great piece you have for me, you know. But anyway, how are you doing?
Well, actually, life has been very full, mostly with good things, and we have done a lot of traveling and lecturing, and I've done a lot of exhibitions, and I've done many interviews, and I do what you do. That is, I do everything that people ask of me. I like that.
You don't know how to say no either, is what you're saying.
Yes, I think, in fact, that's true. But, you know, I feel something I think John said maybe earlier, either on or off the air, that you thrive on it, and you keep yourself young on it, and you keep yourself busy, and you learn so much from other people. And that's what I enjoy very much.
And you know, Jan, also, every year that rolls around, there's new and interesting people that enter your life that are involved in some way in bringing new information. And they may be younger than us. They may be older than us. But every day the door opens and a new face walks in that just gives you a new spark in your life. And that's the way my life operates every day. And I'm sure yours the same way. So, yeah, no, absolutely. I'm not ready to give it up yet.
I have to tell you that my husband, who is an emeritus professor, and when people say he's too young to be an emeritus professor, he says, well, every year the students are the same age, so I've remained the same age.
Oh, wow.
I like that philosophy.
Oh, that's a great thought.
Johnny, I know you were saying earlier that you did have my Christmas gift, but if you don't, I think that a great gift would be a weekend with Jan Langoni just pouring over her collection. I would love to go to Ann Arbor and spend the day with Jan in her cookbook collection.
Can I tell you that many years ago I worked with the people from Southern Living who put out that wonderful collection of facsimiles of early American cookbooks, and three people came from the South, including Ann Harvey from Southern Living and Merrill Evans, you know those names, I'm certain, and they decided to come to Ann Arbor so we can talk about what books they could use from our collection to make their collection. And they came, and it turned out it was the worst ice storm we have ever had in Ann Arbor, and they were in a hotel less than a mile from us, and they refused to leave the hotel. And so Dan and I, who weren't keen on driving either that distance, drove to pick them up, and, you know, we spent time and drove them back to the house. And by that time, maybe it had melted a little bit, but we have so much enjoyed dealing with many people from the South. I've done a lot of things with Historic New Orleans and some of your historic societies, and with Tulane. You have wonderful people who preserve your heritage there. And, John, I congratulate you on your school. I think that's one of the most important things anyone can do. So I pass that on.
Well, I thank you so much.
Jan, I mean, needless to say, we're awed by your incredible collection of culinary cookbooks, manuscripts, menus. But how did the collection begin in the first place?
Yes, it's a good question. I'm sorry to have to start back. My mother tells me I was born reading a book. Okay? And I think that's true. It may not be true, but I believe it, you know. And the story that when I was 5 years old, I could read before I could cross the street. And so books always meant something to me. And I did what many people always do. I always found if you had a problem, you went to the library and you looked up a book and solved your problem, whether it was a simple problem or a big major problem. And so I discovered I was been very active in a number of things, and I became a district representative for a United States congressman, and I liked that very much. But when he lost the election, a re-election, I thought, you know what, I think maybe I'll think about opening a bookshop. But really, I made up my mind to open a bookshop because Dan and I spent all of our vacations going to bookshops and buying books. And I discovered somehow that instead of buying one book for myself, I bought three copies. So I finally said, what am I going to do now, right, now that we've lost the election? Right? So I think, I know, I'll open a bookshop. But meanwhile, Dan had Fulbrights and scholarships and sabbaticals, and we started traveling, and so we started teaching classes. We would teach the classes, and the students were wonderful. They say, well, how can I find out more about what Gertrude Stein or Jackie Kennedy or George Washington or Napoleon ate, you know? And I say, well, there are these books, but you can't find them because they're not in print anymore. And so he said, well, someone should do something about that. And I thought, oh, yeah, I've got all those books in the house. And then the university, I taught these at the University Extension. Let's say we're for France. I do 5 weeks of regional French cooking, and Dan would do 5 weeks of regional French wine. You have to understand that the university did not allow any alcohol on campus, so although they sponsored the lectures, we couldn't teach at the university, so we taught at the local high school.
You can have alcohol on high school campuses, but not university. Okay.
I love that story. I think it's great. Anyway, so the university finally asked if I would teach a class on the history of gastronomy, and I thought, well, that sounds like an interesting idea. But what they said was, but for goodness sakes, don't do any practicum. You know, that's kind of low class for cooking, right? So I told them I was half curious and half thrilled. I was thrilled that they wanted an intellectual class, but I said, if I were teaching dance or music or poetry or anything, you'd have a practicum, right? Anyway, I taught that class, and from that, I just got so much response from people, and that also helped me to found the bookshop. So we opened the bookshop, and I never had done any advertising for the bookshop. But somehow, within days of opening, should also tell you, I was supposed to get $400 for teaching that class. So I bought some bookcases that you had to put together, you know, with screws, and my blood is still all over them, I think. Anyway, and I put it together, and I thought, well, we'll see what happens. And why this happened, I don't know, but within days of my making a decision to do this, Julia Child, James Beard, and Craig Claiborne all called me on the phone and said, we understand that you're going to sell out of print and rare cookbooks, and we would like to be able to give your name to people who ask us, what's your favorite book? And when we tell them, they say, but I can't find that anyplace. Can we give them your name?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and I said, of course you can do that. So I would say literally, not every day, but certainly 3 or 4 times a week, the phone would ring and someone would say, Julia Child told me to call you. James Beard told me to call you. Craig Claiborne told me to call you. And that's how the bookshop started, and it never looked back.
Wow, that's an unbelievable story that you would have those ambassadors out there selling your shop. That's unbelievable.
You couldn't have planned that any better, Jan.
No, no, no. I agree with that. And I should tell you that I started selling, and very quickly there were so few people doing serious culinary bookshops. And I have a background in history, a training in history, and I really knew the books, and Dan, my husband, worked with me, and we just wrote wonderful catalogs and sent them out, and literally when the catalogs were sent out, I just have to sit in this room that I'm sitting in right now because the phone would keep ringing. It was very, very lucky. I think we're blessed with people who cared, and we've had customers from 1972 still
wow.
with us, yes, and part of the thing that was so exciting was somehow I began to get this reputation for being a good person, and I wrote articles in the book dealer's newsletters. And so a dealer would call me up and say, Jan, I just bought a house full of books, and there are 300 cookbooks in the kitchen. Do you want to buy that part of it?
Oh.
And I thought, well, you need to know a little bit about it, but yes. But then people would just say, would you be interested? I have this, that, or the other thing. And we always bought as much as possible. I think that's the way of putting it. And when the leading dealer of culinary in the country died, her husband called and asked if we would like to buy all of her collection, which was quite spectacular.
Oh.
And while we were toying with the idea of should we or shouldn't we, we're very poor decision makers. I remember thinking we couldn't afford to buy it because we would have to take a mortgage on the house. And I thought, how do I explain to my parents that we're taking a second mortgage on the house to buy cookbooks? So anyway, some people came through and bought part of it, but then we got a lot of it also. So it just things built up. And also, I'm blessed with this wonderful memory of, so for example, if I've read a book, like many of your wonderful books, John, I can remember what they look like and what page something is on.
Oh, my God. Is that where you find, the story you just told about buying books and having people call you and being referred, is that where you find your collections, that just old and valuable books and documents coming to you from not only your own searches, but people just calling you and saying, hey, we understand what you do and we have something you might want? Is that the normal process?
Yes, I would say so. And it was such a pleasure, you know. But I should, let me jump a bit if I might, okay? In about 1980, Alan Davidson, the founder of Modern Culinary History Studies, you know Alan wrote Mediterranean Seafood, North Atlantic.
Right, sure.
Okay. He became a very good friend and spent time here with us, et cetera. And he called up and said, Jan, we're going to have an Oxford Symposium on Culinary History and Gastronomy at Oxford University in England, and I want you to come and speak on American cookbooks and American culinary history. And I remember saying, oh, Alan, I'm glad you're going to do that, but no, I'm the wrong person. Why don't you ask me to speak on my specialty, which is French cooking and French gastronomy? And Alan said, Jan, anyone can speak on French gastronomy. He said, but
Oh, wow. Is that
yes, this is that wonderful story. So I remember saying, no, Alan. So he said, look, I read your catalogs. The catalogs are fully annotated. You know, they're wonderful, and you should do it. Funny, I said, I would not speak at Oxford unless I really knew what I was talking about, right? And he said, tell you what, I'll give you 3 days. You and Dan think of who could do it better than you. I'll think for 3 days, and then I'll call you, and we'll talk again. Exactly 3 days later, he called back, and he said, okay, who did you select? And I said, I can't really think of anybody. And he said, neither can I. You're coming. You've got 1 year.
Oh, what a great story.
So I spent a whole year. Our house has very little furniture. It's mostly bookcases.
Jan, I hate to ask you this. I got 2 minutes before break, and I'm going to ask you to hang on if you don't mind. But I do want to ask a question before that. What would you say is one of the most interesting books in your collection, and why?
Okay. I have two answers to that, if I could give that to you. Okay. One is the first black authored American cookbook, of which we have the only copy in the world.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Called Melinda Russell. She was a free woman of color, published in 1866, I think, I forget, right? And we have been trying to track down who she really is. We spent our 58th wedding anniversary in every place she mentioned she had ever lived in, going to the Historic Society. So we have that. The second thing we have is a beautiful story. One of my good customers was Jeremiah Tower of Chez Panisse.
Right.
Stars. Jeremiah has been a very good friend, and he called me one day, and he said, Jan, would you like me to donate my complete menu collection to you?
Oh, oh my God.
He didn't call. He emailed. I didn't even look at where it was from. I just wrote back and said, yes, 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 yes. He wrote back and said, Jan, would you like me to autograph the menus that I was involved with? Because it stars, as you may remember. He had a wall full of old menus.
Absolutely. I remember well, yeah.
Yes, besides all of the Chez Panisse stuff.
Jan, I apologize. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back. You're just so unbelievably interesting. We appreciate you taking the time with us, and we'll be back, y'all, in just a minute.
They say too much introspection is bad for the digestion, okay? You better come right out and tell her she's the sweetest thing since creme brulee. You wanna put her on your menu, make her the dish of the day.
Well, a man in your position ought to think of his nutrition, okay?
What's happening musically in Dakar? Joburg, Kinshasa, Port Spain, Havana, Accra, Dar es Salaam, Cairo, Paris, New York. Well, tune in this week and every week to find out on Afropop Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 on KRVS.
Hi everyone, this is Pat Mitchell-Worley, and coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan, we'll spend the entire hour with Guy Davis, and we'll also hear from our feature host Robert Gordon as he continues his series on the history of high records. That's all coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan.
Tonight at 11 on KRVS.
Comics avec Val. Bienvenue dans le monde francophone. C'est tous les jeudis à 9h sur KRVS, la radio Acadie.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and on the web at krvs.org. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
There's a science to cooking that lets us know. If you're not experienced, then stick to the show.
11 and it's tricky, so is substitution.
My recommendation is let's make a resolution.
Follow the recipe the first time that you do it. After you do that, you can add things to it. Follow the recipe the first time that you do it. After some practice, there's nothing to it.
I don't know where you find those wonderful things.
Well, I would like to hear a little bit more of them, but my engineer now likes to shut them down real fast. I'd like to have the whole song coming. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio. It's so nice that you would take the time today to sit around the kitchen table and listen to us. It's wonderful to have you as our friends, and we'd love to have our stove hounds here with us. And, y'all, we have our great friend Jan Langone here with us. And, Michelle, you had a question that you wanted to ask Jan.
Well, I was just wondering, Jan, how do you define what makes a book collectible? Because it seems like every book in your collection, it's not just a book as you would walk into a bookstore, but it is a special book. It's a collectible antique, a culinary antique. How do you choose? How do you know?
Can I please, if it's okay, refer back to the last thing you asked about special things in the collection?
Sure, and sure.
Absolutely. To Russell.
Right.
Jeremiah said he would send everything, which he did, and in it was the 5 volumes that were put together, 11 sets only of 5 volumes, of the history of Chez Panisse with every single menu for the 8 years. It was done to the 8th year of the birthday of Chez Panisse, essentially. And he had annotated saying how many people came, how much money they spent, and how much money they spent for food, etc. So this is a unique item. 11 sets were made. We know 2 were destroyed. And I had 1 set which I sold. This is before I started being an archivist, okay? I sold. And in my whole life, I thought, oh, what a mistake. What a mistake, right? I should have saved it. So when I opened Jeremiah's package, his 5 volumes were there, plus his kitchen notebook. The kitchen notebook is an ugly thing, a little black notebook. And on the left hand, if you open up to the first page on the left hand, it says phone numbers of the plumber, the electrician, Bob Mondavi, all the important people. And that's a one of a kind in the world, and that's how we got it. But I want to tell you another way. One of the things I'm going to do in an exhibition in 2015 on menus has to do with some of his menus. But I have a menu in my hand right now from Chef John Foles, Lafitte Landing, November 94. Were you welcomed Dan and Jan Langone, Jan Hazard, Merrill and Marty Evans, and Fletcher and Ann Harvey to Lafitte's Landing. And you did something so, forgive me for this, but so clever. You named a dish on the menu for each of us. Do you remember that?
I remember it so very well. I can even see right now the table y'all sat at because I remember it so well. I was so honored to have y'all there.
Okay, that's going to be in the exhibition also, but I just wanted to mention that. So with collectible, it depends if it's written up a lot, if people know about it. I'm sorry to say I think that publicity, PR, is what makes a cookbook sought after, okay? But also there's the beauty of the book. Look at your books, John, your great, big, beautiful books. I have not yet donated those to the library because I can't be at a part with them, okay?
You cannot imagine how proud I am to hear that statement. I mean, that makes me feel really good. Thank you.
Also, when you talk about gifts, if I might say, the idea is to say, what would pleasure this person? Either stretch their minds or just they would find some interest in it. And there are lots of wonderful new books coming out, although not all of the new ones that come out in any given year are really good or important. And you should also go to used book dealers. You have a number of them in your area. New Orleans has a number. And I'm still doing it for people. I don't do a lot with the bookshop now because I'm so busy at the university. But I still get people calling. They say, you know, for 30 years you've given my gift for my wife for her birthday, our anniversary, Christmas, whatever. You have to find something.
you have to.
It's your job. It's your job to make them happy, right?
Yes. So I'll tell you a quick story about Jeremiah, okay? I'll finish Jeremiah Tower. Many years menu for every week for America. Yeah, 50 weeks of the year, do a different American menu. And I had just put out a catalog from the bookshop about regional American cooking. And he called up and said, okay, Jan, I've gone through everything that's here. By the way, the chefs would always call me after they served the last meal at night. No matter where they were calling from, Australia, Japan, didn't matter, right? They didn't know, but it was thrilling. It was always thrilling. So, anyway, and he said, okay, this is what I have from this state. Is this the best book? And I say, in my opinion, yes or no, but, you know. Or I say, I don't really think that I have offered in this catalog the best book for that state. But let me tell you what two or three that I think are good, and you can either, I'll try to find them for you, or you can ask some other dealer, you can buy it from someone else. So he ended up buying 35 states worth of books.
Oh.
35 states. Mm. And then he said at the end, Jan, why don't you just find the other 15 states and send them to me with a bill? Now, can you imagine what an honor that is, that he trusted not only my opinion, but that I was not going to raise the prices on them, you know, or anything? I mean, it was a wonderful relationship, and that's the relationship that we had. So when he said he was going to send his menus to us, he was living in Merida half the time, Merida, Yucatan, and New Orleans half the time. And when I came home, I was telling Dan, oh, look at what happened, Jeremiah Sons. He said, tell him not to send them from Merida because we're having trouble getting Mexican mail. Wait till he gets to New Orleans. So I wrote him back. He wrote back and he said, sorry, I sent them from Merida yesterday, this morning.
Oh, my God.
So I was worried I would lose them. When the package came, as I say, this wonderful set of the Japanese stuff and all the other menus, they came and everything was wonderful. Right after that, and he said, I have a lot of menus in New Orleans, which I'll get to you next time I go there. Well, there was a hurricane in Merida, and there was Katrina.
Oh.
And I tried to reach him to say, are you okay? Are you okay? What's happening in your life? I couldn't reach him by phone, by email. I think I may even have tried to send a telegram. I couldn't reach him. About 4 or 5 months later, he sent an email, and he said, Jan, sorry, I haven't been back in touch. The house in Merida and everything in it was blown away, and they won't let me into the house in Katrina or anyone I want in New Orleans. I want to spend to see it. He said, but I'll let you know as soon as I can get there. And then the last line was, I am so glad you have those menus. At least they're not all wet. Now, that's how we preserve things, okay? That's how we preserve things. I wouldn't let those out of my hands. For anything, people maybe would like to put them on exhibition. I don't want to lose those anyway.
No, we can imagine.
Well, Jan, we've enjoyed talking with you so much. I just one last question. What's the next big project for you? You were talking about lecture series and exhibitions that you do. What's on your calendar?
Well, the big thing I'm going to be doing, and I hope to get you two involved, what I'm going to do is do a major exhibition on essentially called something like, you know, Dining Out. And it will be menus, restaurants, chefs, hotels, inns, taverns, you know, all of those things. And also maybe guidebooks. I think guidebooks are very important. And so I haven't named it yet, but it will be in 2015 in Ann Arbor. I'll talk with you sometime about what I want to do. Right now, I have to finish up this year. American Food Waste, the Jewish Contribution, which has been very popular, and I've been lecturing about it, and it's been in all the papers and all, so I have to finish all of that before I can turn to the news.
Well, you know, you're so busy, and you're so involved, and at the same time, you're so generous with your time. I do want to, again, sincerely say we'd love to have you. We'd love to host you in Louisiana. We'd love for you to be a guest of ours at the restaurant. Whenever y'all just want to get away, and at the same time, if that opportunity ever presents itself, the state of Louisiana is building the John Falls Culinary Arts Center at Nicholls State University, and this new $12.5 million facility will include an archives and library in our new building. We have 7 new kitchens going in, and the building is being built on Acadia Plantation, which is one of the most historic, beautiful, oak tree-laden 50 acres you've ever seen. And I would love nothing more than on the grand opening of the facility, which is going to be in the fall of 2014. If we could have you as a guest, we would love to fly you in, have you in, be a part of it, because nobody can say it better than you can about the importance of learning, the importance about preserving.
I would be thrilled, honored, and the answer is yes. I will do it, and I'll be more than happy. I can also donate some books to you because I have, you know, extra copies of things, and I'll be very happy to do that.
I'll have Michelle, I appreciate it so much, but I'll have Michelle get it on your calendar. Now we have a potential date for the opening of the new John Paul's Culinary Arts Center, and I think you're going to be really impressed with what's going on. We have almost 500 students in the Chef John Paul's Culinary Institute, 35 states, 9 countries on campus. And the only thing missing right now is Jan Langone, and I want to make sure you. So, Jan, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your time with us. We love you, we miss you, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Bye, Jan. Bye.
All right, everybody. What a great, great lady. I mean, I just love her.
I love her to pieces.
So let's jump in here. I wanted to keep Jan on longer because she's such an important guest and an important friend. But let's jump on to Facebook. What's going on, Slama, with that? Anything exciting?
Yeah, we got a comment from a fan, a friend of ours on Facebook. Tracy Webb came on our Facebook page and said, "I enjoy this program so much. I was never much for history, but he makes it fun and exciting. Companion end with food and demonstration."
Aww.
Wow.
So just like to let everybody know that you can come on and say whatever you feel like saying, but most importantly, come on to our Facebook page.
Well, no, that was very nice. That was very nice. And where's she from, huh?
Tracy's from Texas, Port Arthur, Texas.
See that, Port Arthur,
Port
Texas,
Arthur.
Right around the corner, right around the corner.
She's practically a Louisianian.
Well, she is a Louisianian. She's from Port Arthur, huh? Anyway, no, that's great. And again, our Facebook, facebook.com/stirringitupradio, S-T-I-R-R-I-N, it up. And, Michelle, last night I have to tell you that I cut into the first loin of Louisiana Wagyu beef. Now, I want you to hear this. Mm-hmm. Louisiana Wagyu beef is, of course, the Japanese beef that's known for its incredible marbling. And it's the most expensive beef in the world, obviously, because of what it is. And but Louisiana has a Wagyu herd up in North Louisiana, and we have two of the animals here on our own farm in this here in the southern part of Louisiana. But we cut into it last night, and I'm going to load up some pictures that first loin and what it looks like. This is the first time we cooked them last night. We cut through the bone of the rib, Michelle. Each steak was 32 ounces.
Oh, my word.
But anyway, I want to load that up so people can see it. Marietta loaded up in the next couple of days. So y'all go back and look for it. It's going to be on our Start It Up site. Michelle, what else? What about books?
Well, and we've named quite a few, but I do want to – there are two things that I want to mention. First, we've had a lot of folks – who are reluctant to bring our cookbooks into their kitchen because they don't want to get them splattered. And I'm sure our cookbooks are not the only ones.
Right.
So we are exploring, and looks like we will have at least an electronic version for your e-reader of Encyclopedia for Christmas. Now, you know, you'll have to check our website because I'm still finalizing, you know, all the details on that. But check our website, check Facebook, and we'll have that for you. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention, Peter Sclafani, a lot of folks know Peter from Ruffino's Restaurant here in Baton Rouge and in Lafayette. He has a new book coming out this season. He's a good friend. We want to support him. The Seasons of Louisiana. You wrote the foreword to his book. So
he's a great friend. Yeah, he's a great friend from a long line of great restaurateurs, the Sclafani family, the great Italian restaurant group. Now, the e-reader, any particular?
We're looking at iPad and Kindle, still exploring. We definitely want to be on Nook. This is the problem that we're dealing with. Our books are so large, and there's so many pictures on them that we're struggling with e-reader versus maybe just a CD where you can, where it's interactive, you can click and print the recipe and bring that into the kitchen. So I'm not sure which one it is, but hopefully one of the two in the next few weeks.
Well, and be on the lookout next year, not this Christmas. We are going to be, we're working on our new vegetable book, which is going to be one of the great encyclopedias of everything vegetable. So we certainly want you to be on the lookout for that. But most of all, y'all, books are available. They're great holiday gifts. They're a gift that keep on giving all year long. And they become, as you just found out, collectibles that people will pay a lot of money for at some point in time. Thanks to Jan Langone, what a great friend, for being here with us. We will load up a couple of recipes on the website for you, but if you go out and get cookbooks, you don't even need to worry about it. You'll have a bunch of them in your hand. We'll see y'all next week.